be talking about the anointing of God. And we may talk about it from a little bit different perspective, so grab something to write with. It's very important this morning that you grab some pencil and paper. I'm going to say some things, and if you're not ready to write them down, you know, you're going to have to get the CD. But I think right now, because we've had such a good service thus far, amen, that God really wants to do a work in here this morning. Now, we're a teaching church, so I'm going to teach the Word. If I get a little crazy here and there, that's okay. Please understand. That's just me. But, you know, my heart this morning is to really kind of get into the Word, to give you some information to change your life forever. And I want to start in Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about heaven's anointing. Now, we come to church to get information to control our destiny. We don't come to church just because it's a social group or anything. We come here to be empowered by God. Amen? Isn't that right? We come to be empowered to overcome the things in life. We come to find out how we can demonstrate the life of Jesus. And we're going to talk about His anointing. It may be a little bit different than what you're used to. But we're going to look through the Bible and we're going to build precept upon precept and begin to dig into the Word of God. And find out that, you know, many people chase after the favor of God. And, you know, I was in a place last night, to be honest with you. I walked into a fabric shop and it was almost time to close. And I said, you know, there's a couple ladies there. And I said, how y'all doing? They said, well, we're winding down. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, I didn't even have to think about it, is, well, I'm fixing to wind you up a little bit. Come on. Their day was winding down, and they looked at me kind of drab looking and said, well, it's almost time to go. It's winding down. And for some reason, it just came. I mean, you know, that happens every once in a while. Thank God that I got God on the inside of me, amen? Because when I didn't have God on the inside of me, what came out without thinking was ugly. It wasn't fun at all, amen? But she said, we're winding down. I said, well, we're fixing to wind you back up. And I don't know what happened. I just began to start. Things just started rolling out of my mouth. Her smile got about 10 inches wider. I mean, the other lady got up and started walking around. She didn't know what to do. She was nervous. What was it? It was the Spirit of God. Well, you got to realize that God is on the inside of you. God's not afar off somewhere. If you're born again, God is in you wanting to show out. Come out. Get out. He's wanting to get out and touch the world, and the only way He's going to touch the world is through us. You got to realize that anointing that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, is in us. Now, it's important how we cultivate that. Amen? We have to realize that, okay, we've been entrusted with a heavy power from heaven, heaven's anointing. Now, how we cultivate that and how we handle the anointing determines on how that anointing is disciplined and works in the earth. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Let's go over there. We'll start right there this morning. Ephesians 3 and look at verse 19. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Did you notice your Bible there? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that's in us. Now, I'm sure you've heard that scripture a lot, but I tell you what, last night the anointing just fell into place and all I did was just, you know, praise and worship God. That's what I do on Saturday night. I come in here and break all the junk from all week. You ought to be doing the same thing, preparing for Sunday morning service. Amen. On Saturday night, you shouldn't be up watching those late movies and doing all that stuff. You should be in your secret place preparing, because God can talk to you. Amen. And He talks through His body. Amen. Not just the man of God. He talks through the body of Christ. So I was preparing, and the anointing just kept getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And boy, He just said, you know, all the power to conquer the world's on the inside of my church. That's what He said last night. He said, the power to overcome every demon in the world today is in my church. He said, they just don't know it. They don't know the power that they have on the inside of them. And the reason they don't know the power that they have on the inside of them is because they haven't cultivated the power. See, you've got to cultivate things to cause it to grow. Amen? And a lot of people depend on the man of God, and I think that's good. And I thank God for the fivefold ministry. I really do. I mean, I'm called. I wouldn't be doing anything else. There's been a few Sunday mornings I woke up and said, I ain't going. I don't want to go to church. I've looked at Tiffany several times. I mean, I can't lie to you. Amen. You lie, you fry. Come on. I can't lie to you. There's been several times I looked at Miss Tiffany and said, I ain't going back to that place. Them people are mean down there. I mean, they're nicer in the world than they are. They're mean. And she just said, oh, yeah, you are too. And, yeah, I know, I'm going back. Why? Because you're called. And I thank God for the ministry and people that are called. You're called too as ambassadors to Christ. Amen. I mean, now some Sundays you may feel the same way. You think, oh, I ain't going to that church. I don't even want to hear church. I don't want to hear the word. What is that? That's just your flesh. Amen. But once you don't go or you don't show up and you get back into the anointing of God like we've been in today, you think, God, I'd like to do that every day. Don't you think that way? Isn't that right? Well, I thank God for men of God. But you know what? It's the church in the last days that the anointing is going to work through. Amen? It's the church. See, the church is going to rise up. We've had all kinds of teaching. We had the healing movement. We had the faith movement, the teaching of the Word of God. We can't have all that 30 years of teaching without some action here. Amen? The church is going to begin to rise up and begin to start demonstrating the life of Jesus as a whole. Amen? Isn't that good? That's what's going to happen. Now, whether you're a part of it, that depends on you. Amen? That's what's going to happen. And it says, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's the power that's already on the inside of us. This heaven's anointing was implanted into your spirit the day you got born again. That fast, the Holy Spirit renewed, recreated you. The old man died. Now there's a power source on the inside of you that can conquer the world. You may not know it's there. It may be dormant. You may see a little glimpse of glory, a little shot here, a little light here, you know, a little revelation along the way. That's because you're not cultivating it on a regular basis. You start cultivating like a farmer cultivates his crop, and it'll begin to grow and develop, amen. The next thing you know, everywhere you go, the anointing's on. You know, you'll turn around and people will be following you like they did Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, crowds of people followed. As soon as they heard Jesus is there, they sensed the anointing. They saw the supernatural, miraculous power of God. They followed that, and they're going to do the same thing to you. Thank you for that enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to build. The Holy Ghost is working here, let me tell you. He's got all his gardening equipment working right now this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is going to be good, amen? But we're going to build on the Word of God, precept upon precept, because, folks, you can't get anything without the Word. Amen? You can come to church for 20 years. If the Word ain't preached, you ain't moved a bit. Isn't that right? I've been there and done that. I was teaching in a Baptist church. I wasn't even saved. I know. I mean, I talked to some Baptist preachers today. I mean, this week. Began to tell them my testimony. They said, you know, I believe that, brother. I really do. And I said, well, you know what? The day of the church is coming. It's coming. The church is going to stand up. And that kind of stuff ain't going to happen anymore. Because people are going to get a hold of the Word. And it's going to change your life. Look at verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now look at verse 8. I want you to concentrate here. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man, now look at what he's saying here. Every farmer, you might as well say, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. How you cultivate the anointing in your life depends on how the anointing is going to operate in your life. Many of you may be saying, well, I'm not called to the ministry. Let me tell you something. Some of you have an anointing for business. Amen. Some of you have an anointing to raise children and train children. Amen. Some of you have an anointing to love people when they're down and out. Some of you have an anointing to fellowship with people. Some of you have an anointing to direct and lead people, to guide them with the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. That gift, that empowerment on the inside of you is only going to work as well as you cultivate it. It says right here that that farmer, or every man's going to receive his own reward. See, Jesus is going to hand out rewards. Now, Revelation says when Jesus returns, his rewards are with him. Amen. Isn't that right? Your reward is going to be based on what you cultivate. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5 in there says that every man's been given the measure of faith. Let me tell you something. Oral Roberts doesn't have any more faith implanted on the inside of him than any believer in the room this morning. Come on now. He's just cultivated his more like a farmer. He's just gotten in the Word and continued to cultivate it. Brother Copeland or Billy Brim or Creflo Dollar or President Bush or Condoleezza Rice or all these leaders, I mean, not just in the body of Christ and in government, I mean, they've cultivated what God's given them on the inside. It's the power in you. Amen. It's not up to the pastor. It's up to the pastor to preach the Word to make you aware of what you have. How are they going to know without a preacher? How are they going to know? So it's according to your own labor. Now see, it's already done in the Spirit. When you were born again, the power's there. The source is there. Now you got to begin to cultivate it and bring it on out of you. Amen? It's according to you. Now I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 34. Matthew 12, look at verse 34. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the power source that you've cultivated determines how powerful your speech is. Now, we know words are powerful, and heaven's anointing has equipped us to overcome everything in the earth, right? So it's out of the abundance of your heart that flows the power of life. No cultivation down here. It's there. I mean, you don't have to wait for it. You're born again. It's on the inside of you right now. All you have to do is begin to cultivate that power. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 12. Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 12. Well, let's start there in verse 10 to get a little context. It says, and his disciples, the disciples came and said, now Jesus just taught the parable of the sower here. He was teaching a very powerful concept that the Word is seed. Amen? The Word of God is the seed of God. What does the Word of God do? The Word of God cultivates the power that's on the inside of you. It's like gas on a fire. Gas on a fire. The Word cultivates, so the more Word that you hear, the more power. It's like that uranium, enriched uranium, that is needed for that nuclear reactor. That uranium is like the Word of God. When you apply that material, it fuels the energy source. Amen? So in other words, just like nitrogen, H2O and a combination of fertilizers begin to cause crops to grow and to flourish. Farmers know this, amen. The Word of God is the same way. Now let's look at this in depth here. His disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak into them or unto them in parables? Now Jesus shared something very profound right here. He answered and said unto them, because it, the power, the anointing of God, is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But it's not given unto them. Therefore, that's why he was preaching in parables. When you have that power and that anointing on the inside of you, it'll interpret everything from heaven. Amen? Isn't that right? Now listen to what he's saying here. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now remember, that abundance on the inside of you will cause everything you need to come to you if you cultivate it. Everything that you need to develop and to take care of your destiny in this city, this county, or this state is on the inside of you. And everything will come to you. That anointing will draw it to you if you cultivate the anointing. Now listen to this. Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. Look at verse 12. For whosoever hath. Did you ever wonder what the hath was he was talking about there? Whosoever hath shall be given. Whosoever doesn't have, the Bible says, it shall be taken from him. So I want you to understand, when the anointing from heaven, that power that's on the inside of you, is there to take care of everything necessary for you to complete your destiny. Amen? The power is in you now to destroy every foul or every evil that comes your way. It's there to take care of every part of lack in your life. It's there to take care of every disease that comes near you. It's there to take care of every spirit of poverty that tries to attach itself to you. It's there to gather every piece of wisdom and concept and empowerment from heaven. It's there, but you've got to cultivate it. You've got to cause it to begin to operate in your life by allowing the Word of God to be planted on the inside of you. Now Jesus said this, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given." So whoever has this anointing on the inside, things are going to be given unto them. In other words, he just got finished teaching about the parable of the sower. And I start out by saying this. The seed of God on the inside of you, that incorruptible seed, it has a DNA blueprint. You might write that down. The Word of God has a DNA blueprint. And that blueprint is designed to do a specific thing. Now, you know, in the architecture business or field, when we drew up blueprints, those blueprints were intended to accomplish a specific thing. It was intended to build a specific building to meet a specific need, right? Isn't that right? When you draw up blueprints for a car, that car is intended to be manifested to meet a specific need. Isn't that right? To take care of a specific destiny. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Your life on this planet has a DNA blueprint, and that blueprint is on the inside of you if the Word of God is on the inside of you. And if you're born again, that anointing is there. So you've got it. Now look at what Jesus said about this anointing. Or this Word. See, he was talking about the Word of God being sown in your life, which is heaven's anointing. It says here, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever has this anointing, to him shall be given." He shall have what? More abundance. You cultivate the anointing in your life, things are going to be drawn to you, and you're going to have more abundance in your life. It's the power of the seed of the Word of God. It draws everything necessary to complete its destiny. A seed, I like using this, watermelon. How many of you like watermelon? Sharon brought us a watermelon, I don't know, a month or so ago. Big old thing. I mean, it was huge. You cut that watermelon open, and it's full of seeds, black seeds. Isn't that right? That's one thing I don't like, you know. I love watermelon, but I hate fighting those seeds. I mean, somebody's got to cut it up for me. I ain't no good. Amen? And I don't know about y'all. There's a few things. I told Tiffany, you know, years ago we used to like to go to eat seafood and stuff. And I don't eat much seafood. You know, I only eat those fish that have scales on them. Amen. And there was seafood that we were eating. It just wasn't no good. When you study those creatures out, man, they're eating all kinds of junk you don't want to be in, that you want in your stomach. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there. And I didn't realize it, but I got wisdom from heaven. Amen. Come on. I mean, God ain't done with me yet. Amen. Hallelujah. So I better take care of my body. Well, you know, I didn't like all those seeds. I mean, I didn't like peeling shrimp. You want me to eat shrimp? You're going to have to peel them for me, honey. I mean, I just don't like fighting all that. I gave that up anyway. But watermelon, I ain't give it up yet, but you got to de-seed it for me. Well, that seed and that watermelon has a little blueprint in it. Did you know that? You know, you didn't think about it. Why? Because your thoughts aren't God's thoughts. But God's always thinking about the seed and what He put on the inside of that seed. Well, you pull that little black seed and lay it on the table, and you really see it the way God sees it, and you'll see a big set of blueprints in there. And those blueprints will have page after page after page, diagram after diagram after diagram of how to create the same thing again with more abundance. You following me? And as a matter of fact, that blueprint inside that seed doesn't need any help from you. Isn't that a miraculous thing? Man ain't got to do anything except stick it in the ground. That seed has the DNA blueprint on the inside of it to draw everything's necessary to reproduce in more abundance the same thing. Now see, man ain't figured that out. See, we play around with food a little bit genetically. Come on. We try to get the corn to grow a little bit faster because we know oil's running out. Amen. We try to get, you know, broccoli and all these other things. We can change the chemistry just a little bit, but we can't cause a watermelon seed to produce tomatoes. Come on. It won't happen. Why? Because God designed a special DNA blueprint to produce a certain thing. The Word of God and the anointing of God's the same way. Now, it's in you right now. And you look at Jesus' life for 3.5 years, and that's the harvest. Amen? We ought to have everything Jesus had. We ought to walk in the same anointing. We ought to walk in the same power. We have the same authority. We have everything. Jesus said, "These works that I do, greater works will you do because I go to be with the Father." And then He showed us how to start cultivating this DNA blueprint that's on the inside of us. He showed us how to do it. So it says right here, if you have this, look at what the verse 12 says, more shall be given to you. Why is more given to you? Because the seed draws everything necessary to complete its destiny. The Word of God will bring to you everything necessary to complete its destiny. I mean, God's given the seed or the Word of God on the inside of you, and you're supposed to start a business. Don't go out there and work 70, 80, 90 hours a week and ruin your body. Your body's not designed to be under that kind of pressure. Change what's on the inside. Realize the anointing, the power that's on the inside of you. Cultivate that Word of God. Cultivate it, and everything you need will be drawn to you. People will run you down to get you set up in a place you've never been before. They'll be called and empowered by God to give you everything necessary in your business to take it to the complete next level. Your family too. Many of you may say, "Well, golly, you know, what did Martha do? She got so involved and chasing after what it was going to take to feed 83 men, she forgot about cultivating the Word." See, how in the world are we going to feed 83 men? I never worry about that around my house. I never do. Thank God I got Miss Tiffany. Hallelujah. And God. What did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet. Why? She just saw the man of God feed 4,000 with a little boy's lunch. 5,000 with a few fishes. And had enough left over to take care of his leaders, the 12 disciples. Isn't that good? did Jesus go running down town chasing after meat? Remember when he looked at Philip and said, "Now, look, we got to feed these." First thing Philip said, "We ain't got enough money in our pockets to buy enough bread to feed these people." Where was his mind? It wasn't on the seed that was on the inside of him. You follow me? The Word of God is the supernatural power that overcomes the natural world. It's heaven's anointing. And it's in you right now. It's on the inside of you. Go to Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 25. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 25. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. God is good. "For he that hath, to him shall be given." Did you notice "shall be given"? That just proves out the fact that the seed draws everything necessary. To him that has heaven's anointing, it shall be given to him. Now, how many of you have lost a few things before you got saved? Come on now, you lost your dignity, you lost your shame. Amen. Some of you lost your mind. Now you got the mind of Christ. Come on. Well, look at what the Word says. It says here, to him, it says, "For he that hath that heaven's anointing, to him shall be given, and he that hath not," look at this, "has not" what? "The anointing of God, from him shall be taken." What did Jesus say? He says, "I've come to give you life." Amen. Thank you, Lord, for confirming that. Amen. Jesus came in John 10:10, said, "The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy." If you don't have that anointing and cultivate it in your life, he's going to take everything you got. How many of you have said this? "Well, you know, you got $100,000 of an inheritance in your family." Amen? And that $100,000 lasts you about 18 months. Why is that? You ain't got God's anointing and you hadn't cultivated it to know what to do with the $100,000. Because if you had it, you could take the $100,000, think like a millionaire, and put that money to work, and more would come to you. Amen? That's how Abraham thought. But what you don't have, look at what the Bible says. You don't have that anointing. You don't cultivate that anointing in your life. It says, "From him shall be taken even that which he has." Whoo, this is good. I'm telling you, the anointing's here now. Whoo, it's here to teach. It's here to open blind eyes. I mean, there's people that have blinders over their eyes. They're going to hear this for the first time. Whether it's here through CD, however means they can hear the Word, it's going to open their eyes forever. Just like it did me. One day I saw some things and I ain't never stopped since. I mean, it was like heaven totally open. And I mean, just the anointing of God. And what was I doing? I was cultivating and cultivating and cultivating and cultivating the Word of God, listening to it over and over and over. I knew the anointing was in there, but I ain't seen much of a glimpse. I ain't seen the glory. I ain't seen the glory yet. I hadn't seen that in my life. So I cultivated and cultivated and cultivated and cultivated. All of a sudden, things started happening here and there. What happened? The anointing started working. Amen. A seed causes water, nutrients to come to it. Amen. Now, when your spirit and mind agree, heaven's anointing will work. Write that down. When your spirit and mind agree, that anointing will begin to work. Now, you have the power on the inside of you, but if your mind doesn't agree with that power, it will never come out of there. It'll lay dormant for years. Your spirit and mind must agree for heaven's anointing to work. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 23. It is incorruptible. In other words, it's going to work. It doesn't matter what, I mean, this will work on concrete if you start watering it. Amen? Have you ever seen weeds grow up through concrete? God's Word will destroy and break up concrete. I don't care how hard the ground is. If it's watered, it's coming up. There is no excuse. The Word of God will work if it's watered. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which what? Lives and abides forever. Everybody say forever. See, we're going to live forever, isn't that right? We're going to worship God forever. We're going to lay before His throne and praise Him forever. The Word's never going to stop. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Never, never, never. As long as we exist, the Holy Spirit is always going to be present in our life, here on the planet and in heaven. And it says right here, it's incorruptible. The Word of God, it lives and abides forever. Now go over to John 15, verse 7. Look what Jesus said. John chapter 15, look at verse 7. Now you have to understand, when you begin to cultivate this, your mind and your spirit has to agree for the power to be released. Now, Oral Roberts taught for years about seed faith and about faith healing. And I'm going to say some things in the next few minutes. You can change your life forever, if you understand what I say. If you don't, that's okay. We're going to keep teaching for the next 6 weeks on the same thing. And that's, you know, teaching's repetitive, precept upon precept. One day you're going to walk out here and, man, the lights are going to be so on fire. You're going to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. You're going to control your business. Increase is going to follow you everywhere you go. Why? Because something happened on the inside to where you could clearly see it. Isn't that right? Now, Oral Roberts, when he began to teach about healing, he would always teach about focusing and releasing your faith. Right? Isn't that right? If any of you have ever heard any of his teaching, he would talk about releasing faith, understanding how to release the power on the inside. That don't come without cultivating the power that's on the inside of you. Once you realize the power that's in you and what it does, then you can begin to do what? Direct that power to accomplish things in the earth. Now let's look at what Jesus said here in John 15. You know, when He laid hands on people, He would direct His faith. Why? He had cultivated the anointing and then learned how to do what? Release it. You can release the power that's on the inside of you to do what? Conquer every demon that stands before you. You can release the power on the inside of you to get wisdom to overcome every situation in your life. You got business decisions. Let me just tell you, a word from the Lord came this morning about some of you moving through one chamber to the next chamber, walking through a door. You've got to cultivate this week the Word of God. Set things aside, get into your secret place, and start cultivating the Word of God. And that opportunity, when it comes, you'll know exactly what to do. Exactly. Just like Oral Roberts, as he prayed, or he would release his faith, he would see the situation appear. Because he cultivated the Word, he would activate his faith. The manifestation of God came. The glory showed up. Amen. And the anointing began to flow. Things changed around him. Amen. Now listen to this. It's very interesting. John chapter 15. And look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now see, that was real foreign to me, even after I got born again. But the more I started studying and understanding that the power's in me. We saw it over there in Ephesians 3:20. The power to conquer the world's in us. It ain't out. See, many people, let me just say this too. Many people in the church run from meeting to meeting, Holy Ghost meeting to Holy Ghost meeting, looking for the anointing. That's backwards. That's the same way a person would run from job to job looking for a raise. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, light bulbs are going off all over the room now. You don't run after what you need. No, because the Word of God's like a seed, and a seed has the blueprint to draw everything that's necessary. You can have God in your situation anytime you want. All you got to do is cultivate that anointing. We can have the anointing here, break every yoke, heal every disease, conquer every foul of the enemy right here at FFI. It's here, it's in you. It's in you right now. We can have people from this city bring everybody in that local hospital down there in here on stretchers and you start laying hands on them and every one of them get up healed. Totally whole, just like that. I mean, it would work just like that. You start activating God's Word. Amen. It ain't up to me. I'm the teacher. That's what a pastor does. Pastor just showing you, hey, what's available. Then you got to go do the work. Isn't that right? We've got to be doers of the Word. You know what James said? Amen. Well, I'm looking in the days coming when the church decides to get up, go down to the hospital and the nursing home, get all them sick people and bring them down. It's happened before and it's going to happen again. Come on. It's happened before and it's going to, I mean, Peter walked by and his shadow healed them as they laid there. The anointing. Why? He knew who he was. He knew the seed that was on the inside of him. He cultivated it. I mean, soon as Jesus said, feed my lambs, I mean, it just broke loose on the inside of him. He realized, hey, nothing can stop me. He went to the upper room, sat there for 50 days, cultivating the Word of God. All of a sudden, power from heaven hit that place, changed the known world we're in. Same thing can happen to you if you want it. Now, you may be comfortable where you're at, but there's a church coming. They're going to go down to the local nursing home and hospital and bring them in here, lay hands, and not be afraid to do it. I've been around some people. I mean, you go in a hospital, the first thing the anointing wants to do is lay hands on that child. And the first thing the devil says is, wait a minute, stop. You don't know who you're going to offend. Come on. It's in you now. You just got to cultivate it and move and allow that to work. And Jesus said right here, if you abide in me, if you're in me and my words are in you, is his words in you? Come on. The anointing's in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. And he wrote the entire Bible. I mean, you know, many of us kind of wonder about Phineas Dake. How he stood, I mean, how he wrote all those notes in that Dake Bible. How did he know so much word? Cultivation, cultivation, and more cultivation. He thought it was more important to cultivate the Word of God in his life than he thought it was important to spend time at the lake or on the golf course. And ain't nothing wrong with the lake and the golf course. I've been on the water recently in the last few weeks, and it's fun. Not the golf course. I don't play golf. I hadn't figured out in my mind. I believe I have the mind of Christ, but I ain't figured out in my mind how to get that little bitty ball 400 yards down there to a hole you can't even see. I hadn't grasped that yet in my mind. I had people trying to get me out on that course, and I was good at one time. They just go, oh, come on, let's go play golf. And the first thing that, I mean, it's just a clunk. How in the world? I can't even see the hole down there. What purpose is it to put that ball in there anyway? Come on. That's the way I think. I hope I'm not offending anyone. But Jesus said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything you want. There ain't a sickness and disease you can't stop. Now listen to me this morning, church. There ain't a sickness and disease that you can't overcome. I'm telling you, the anointing's getting thicker in here. There ain't a sickness and disease that you can't conquer. There ain't a spirit of poverty you can't take a hammer and smash his head and get it out of your life if you understand what's on the inside of you. Let's look at another scripture here, amen? Go over and look at Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 26. Let's look at Mary, Jesus' mother. For a split moment here, now there's other places in the Bible where she got kind of goofy, but for a split moment here, she did exactly what we read. If the Word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done, is what Jesus said. Now it says right here in Luke 1, in verse 28, that the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, you're highly favored. You are going to be the mother of the Most High God. Now, can you imagine what she was thinking? Remember, your spirit and your mind must agree. the angel of the Lord, a messenger from God. You study that out. Now, let me just share this with you. You study that word angel of the Lord. Many people think that it's some invisible or transparent being with wings that came down and spoke to her. But you study that word out, and that's not what it meant. It means messenger. Actually, it's translated in the Greek, pastor, man of God, preacher. A preacher came and preached to her, there is a power on the inside of you that is going to change the world. A preacher came and preached to her that there is power on the inside of you right now that's going to change the world. Her first thought was, how can that be? I haven't known a man. She didn't have the mind of Christ at that time. But it just took a little bit more preaching of the word. She hung out with that messenger a little bit longer. What happened? The word was being cultivated. The word was being cultivated. It was being watered and fertilized and watered and fertilized and watered and fertilized. And her whole life, she had heard that the Messiah was coming. And when he spoke anointed words and the power of God began to operate, all these things started coming back that was planted into her. The Messiah is coming. All these things. Same thing happened to the disciples when Jesus showed up. Everything they had read for 30 years in their life became manifested in front of them, and boom, that fast they saw it. And they said, something is different right here. And that same power they saw in Jesus, it wasn't because Jesus was so good looking, although he's the best looking guy you'll ever see. It wasn't because he spoke so clearly and eloquently. No, it wasn't about that. It was all about the power they were seeing that was coming out of him. And he always said, it ain't me, it's the Father that's in me. I speak the word. The words that I speak aren't my words, they're the Father's words. It comes out of the power source. Matter of fact, he didn't draw any attention to himself. The attention was always on the power source on the inside of him. This messenger, you study that out when you get home, that word angel. It doesn't mean some angelic being. No, 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 no. Although there are angels. Mine follows and precedes me everywhere I go. He opens doors for me. He takes care of me. When people try and come against me. I've had some people, and let me just tell you this, and I don't preach much on this, but don't ever speak against God's anointed. I don't care where you are. Are you anointed? Come on now, are you anointed? In the church anointed? Don't ever speak about anyone in the church, because every one of us have an angel that watches over us. Don't ever speak about another brother or sister in the church. Now, the devil's out there, you go have at him. But don't ever speak about anybody in the church, because their angel goes before them, and the power of God, that anointing's on the inside of them too. Amen. I've had people speak against us. I've had people speak against my wife. You sure don't want to speak against my wife. Whether God's with me or not that day, you won't be happy. Come on. What happened to Mary? A message kept getting preached to her. It kept getting preached. There's something on the inside of you. There's something, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and create in you something that is holy, right? What'd she do? She finally decided to agree. Your mind and your spirit must agree before the anointing will flow in your life. Look up there in verse 37. That messenger kept saying this over and over. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Look at that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now I just want to stop right there and let you know, right? Stretch your hands before the Lord right now. Come on, everybody, just stretch. Just begin to start receiving. Nothing's impossible to you. I don't care what you're facing this morning, there is nothing. Boy, the anointing is strong now. See, it's in you. It's in you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Think about the things the devil's been lying to you about the last few days, about the coming week. Nothing shall be impossible to you. There is nothing that you can't do, you can't overcome, you can't achieve because God's power is on the inside of you. Amen. Father, we just receive that anointing. We cultivate it. We thank you for the word beginning to stir us on the inside in the power. Show us, Heavenly Father, how to direct this in the coming few days to bring increase and take us from point A to point B, to overcome every snare of the devil, to overcome everything that comes against us, and to provide a supply to our family and our workplace, and to set an atmosphere that we will never, ever, 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 ever be in it again. We thank you for it. Moving glory to glory.